6 o'clock according to online time. Call to order. City Council. Establish a quorum.
Don Greiner present.
Karen Ward present.
Connie Breeze.
Stu Martinez present.
And Dennis Scott. President, pledge of the allegiance. Let's go to jail.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Corey, added agenda?
No added agenda, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, okay. Okay, we got a lot of stuff to cover, so we're gonna... I'm not gonna push, but we're gonna move ahead. Public comments. Anybody have anything to say?
Just get through it quickly.
Nothing? Okay. Okay, let's get right to the discussion on water and wastewater bonding authority for loans.
Okay, great. So invite Brandon Mahon up to the table, and I'm gonna get Brad Baird on the phone. He was the gentleman who joined Brandon a month ago or so. We're gonna have a couple speaker visitors over the course of this meeting. Hey Brad, this is Corey and the Lapine City Council and public in attendance calling. Can you hear?
I'm good. Yes, I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me okay?
Oh yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
Perfect.
Excellent. So we, Brad, we haven't started anything. We were getting you on the line, and so I think probably the best thing to do would be in all of your packets, you have a two-page document that Brad and Brandon put together that essentially lays out the bonding authority approach, process, and estimated timeline. And so what I think we should do is turn it over to Brad and let him sketch out, you know, what this is all about, why we need to do it, and then answer questions accordingly. So Brad, take it away.
Okay, thank you, Corey, and appreciate being able to chat with you about this. Thanks for your time. The bonding authority process is something that USDA requires, and interestingly enough, they're the only funding agency that actually requires you to achieve bonding authority. And so there really is no way out of it. You know, it's just something that you have to do as a condition of their funding. And as the two-page handout indicates, there's basically three methods to achieve it. And over all the years that I've been doing this, I've done all three of them, but the most common is the third bullet. I'll go through the first two briefly, but a general obligation bond is one that allows you to use taxes to generate revenue to pay off your loan payment. It allows you to do taxes or rates or any combination of the two. And not too many cities utilize general obligation bond because it's tax related and usually is harder to pass. The other type of bond is a revenue bond, which is you can only use revenue from sewer rates or water rates, depending on which utility it is, to pay the loan payment. And there's two ways you can achieve revenue bond approval. One is with a regular vote, you know, where you actually put it on a ballot and have a vote. Another way is to do a resolution passing a resolution via council action that states that the council's going to pursue this bond for a certain amount as part of your project. And then you publish that in your paper of record. You only have to publish it once. and then you undergo a 60-day remonstrance period. And what that is you wait for 60 days after you publish it and see if any of your registered voters remonstrate against the revenue bond. And they have a specific process that they have to follow, and that's laid out in the paperwork. They come to City Hall and remonstrate in writing, and if 5% or more of the registered voters do that, within that 60-day period, then the city is has to take the issue to a public vote. And in all the ones that I've ever done, that only happened once. If you have an excellent public education process, you send out brochures, you have public meetings, you educate your voters on what's going on, generally that doesn't happen. And that's the case that that's where we're at here with Lapine. The city and your staff have done an excellent job of providing public education and notification about the project, and you'll need to continue to do so. You know, send the brochure out again. I would recommend you send that brochure out, maybe modify it a little and send it out just prior to putting this in the paper or concurrently to help with public education.
And if I can, Brad, I'm going to interrupt you real quick. This is, just so everyone knows, this is for the big water wastewater projects we've been talking about for more than a couple years now, right? And that the council just accepted the $1.2 million CDBG grant a few weeks ago. And then for council with your packets, it's just these two pages. This has nothing to do with the system development charges that we're going to talk about here in a little bit. So, Brad, keep going. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to...
Oh, no problem. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and just to back up a little bit to follow what Corey just said, when we're talking about bonding, it's just a security method for your loan that USDA wants you to get. You know, you still got to go get the loan, and USDA will actually provide the loan. And this is just a bond, a revenue bond that gives USDA assurance that you achieved voter approval to go get this loan. And so that's what the activity is talking about.
So USDA is waiting, essentially. We're almost finished with all the back and forth, with all the details. They're waiting to what's called obligate the funds to the city of Lapine. And so we have a good sense of how much they want to obligate to us as well. But as Brad said at the onset, USDA is one of those funding agencies that requires the jurisdiction to have bonding authority in place, or at least working towards bonding authority before they'll obligate those funds. So that's where we find ourselves right now.
Yeah, very well said. Exactly. Okay, so bottom of page one on that two-page handout talks about how much to bond for, and hopefully you've all seen from information Brandon's prepared and passed out the potential funding breakdown between the water and the wastewater projects. Each of those has a USDA loan amount that we're anticipating based on the assumption that we'll get other loans and grants from other sources, as well as a grant from USDA. Excuse me. If you look at the top of page two of the handout, that table shows the water system improvements project and the anticipated USDA loan of $9,832,500. It also shows the anticipated wastewater loan. And what we like to do, or what USDA suggests you do and bonding companies suggest you do, is to bond for a little bit more, you know, 10%+ more than the actual loan that you hope to receive. And it's very important that the council understands this doesn't mean if you do bond for $11 million for your water project that you're going to use all of that. The reason it's wise to bond for a little bit more is it's hard to know where the final funding package is going to come out after all these agencies do their analysis and you find out what grants and or loans are out there. You might have to get a slightly higher loan than you thought. Hopefully that's not the case, but by giving yourself a little bit of a cushion in the bonding process, you won't have to come back later and redo it if your USDA loan, say, had to be $10.2 million and it was slightly higher than $9.8 million, you would be covered because you bonded for a little bit more. And so we like to suggest that if it's acceptable to the city, you bond for slightly higher than your loan, and that's what the table shows, suggested bonding amounts for both the water and wastewater projects. That's roughly a little over $1 million higher than each loan, just to give yourself the opportunity to secure a larger loan. Now, by doing that, it doesn't mean you have to accept a larger loan. Now, it's just giving you the flexibility to do it based on the final funding amounts and how everything pans out after the funding agency analysis. This is a really important point, so hopefully everybody, if you have any questions, please ask, because this is one that often is misunderstood.
I've got a question.
Go ahead.
On your page 2 on the graph or the chart that you have there, on the water system you used the capital improvement amount, and on the wastewater system you use the project cost. How come?
Okay, I'm not sure I'm following you, Stu. Exactly.
That's Don Griner, but that does make
sense. Oh, I'm sorry. I was taking a guess. I missed it.
Well, on the...
He's looking at his SDC charts right now.
Pardon?
You're looking at an SDC analysis chart.
Right. You've got one figure here and another figure here, but shouldn't they be the same?
Not necessarily. Those are separate documents.
I understand that.
I don't have a good answer for you, Brandon.
I'm not sure, Don. The only thing I'm looking at here, and my only question, we'll have to look at this, and Brad, I don't know if you're at your computer, and we can get back to you on this. Water and wastewater might be backwards. Mm-hmm. The wastewater loan might be 9.8, and the water loan might be 7.8.
Oh, did I switch those in the handout there?
Your table backwards there, Don. Does that clarify it, or are you still seeing some...
On the ordinance, the draft ordinance, uh-huh. You have a project list here that shows us both the capital project cost, uh-huh, and the net capital project cost.
Mm-hmm.
You got one for water and one for sewer. So
right.
I would assume that they're both subject to the bond, right? So why shouldn't they be similar or the same?
So these overall project costs, these are the costs of the projects. These bonding amounts are only for the, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brad or Brandon, these bonding amounts are only for the funds that are coming from USDA. So the CDBG grants or the other funds that are coming from IFA, Infrastructure Finance Authority through the state, those are not included in this bonding amount.
So that is correct. Yeah. And also not included in that bonding amount is any USDA grant.
Grants.
You only have to bond for the USDA loans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not total.
So that's why you're looking at, say, a $25 million overall project and bonding authority for, call it 18 to 20 million, because we're hoping to get, we've already got 1.2 million in grants, and we're hoping to get
5%.
A handful more,
yeah,
right,
in grant.
But
a million in grants.
Yeah, that would be a little misleading.
Sure.
I see what he's saying there,
yeah.
Because the
they're different.
If you look
yeah.
at the,
this, so this is just for the loan,
just
the loan requirements.
I understand, but if you see what he's saying is
right.
that on the sewer system, they're using this number after the grant amount,
right?
And on the water system, they're basically using the upper number before the grant amount,
right?
Mm-hmm. On the
exactly.
SECs.
On the from
okay.
yeah from that
yeah.
So that's what he's looking at when
I
he's looking at
yeah.
see this, why they're different
yeah.
and
right.
we don't know what the grants are going to be totally yet.
The SDC numbers, remember, these are only for the portions of the project that are eligible to be included in SDC charges, so not all the portions of the, not the entire project is eligible to be in the SDC amount. So that's why when you see, if you start looking at these like that, where you're kind of you're trying to match the numbers, they won't match.
You're not
right?
comparing apples to apples when you're
but
looking at SEC tables.
Someone from the general public could do the same exact thing.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the message with what Brad is talking about right now is that, and this is what, you know, like he said, with this 60-day remonstrance period, the public needs to be aware of how much we're getting in grants, how much we're anticipating to take in loans, and what portion of those loans are from USDA for the remonstrance period.
Right, but, basically. You know...
Oh, it's confusing.
From
I get it.
The public could do exactly what Don did.
Sure, and I would hope they'd come and talk to us and get
start questioning
clarified.
Yeah, so that's where the educational
yep.
part comes around.
Absolutely.
So that's going to be a big part of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. When we look at the brochure that has already gone out, we may want to be a little careful about the wording in there on or add a section to help alleviate what you're talking about right here. That's good advice. To just explain that there's variability in the numbers depending on which program it is and what's required to bond for and not.
So Don, did okay. that answer that?
As far as I'm concerned, I can't understand why you go the full capital cost on one and not on both. That's the only thing, that's what I'm, what
that's,
my question
yeah.
was, and I have no idea what the answer is right now.
Okay, so what I was trying to do when I said don't look at this was not to try to be hide something or be misleading. It's just that these have, they do not have anything really to do with each other than the same projects. So we will talk about this, Don, and I'll explain again how we got to that number and sort of the plan with the system development charges. But with the loans and the remonstrance period, it's just the loans.
This is USDA loans, too, we're looking at right now.
Right.
Don't look at me like that.
No, no. I want to know if you're
well, it has to be
satisfied.
Done. That's immaterial.
Well, this is what a work session is for. No problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because there's two different items. I mean, it's the same item, but it's two different, figured two different ways, one for SDCs and one for the loan and the project. Because things are taken out and added to SDCs, whereas this is more hard cost, except we don't quite know what grants are getting. You know, this is more hard cost stuff.
Just USDA loans.
Right, mm-hmm. The loans.
Right.
If that makes any sense. I mean,
well, what it appears to me like is you're going to get a full loan for one and only partial for the other one.
We're actually getting partial for both of them.
Correct.
You know, because we're getting grants. Grants.
The bonding
both
doesn't
of them.
Show that. That's fine. Well,
okay.
Go ahead.
No, no. I want you to be satisfied. I mean, I want you to.
Bonding anticipates what we're going to get in loans from USDA. Right here is what it reflects. It doesn't reflect the total project costs.
And we
all
don't
it reflects is what we anticipate we're going to get in loan amounts. SDC reflects growth-related costs of the system and existing-related costs of the system. It takes those two in factor. That's why they look a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it would be satisfying to see, like, a number from this chart break into this number, but they're just that they're differing.
There's just different
methodologies
factors.
And right. Matrixes that don't line up.
So. It may be helpful, may have been helpful to see the one that we had before that
right.
had the breakdown of the
yeah.
of the actual
yeah.
loan amounts, grant right. amounts,
and
total project costs.
Right.
But yeah, exactly.
Right.
The one that we had before.
Exactly.
Well,
a couple weeks ago.
We can get that. What this
yeah.
what this is now is just us starting the process of the bonding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the final figures or the figures to do with the whole project. It's just getting the bonding. And that's why they're asking $11 million a little bit, 10% over.
I understand the overage. Okay. I don't see any reason to object to that at all. No.
Right. And maybe we can get those.
I don't
figures.
Object to the other. It's just that it seems to me like the figure should be fairly close. That's my personal opinion.
Do you have any answers for that one? Except that they're...
Other than with system development charges, I mean, one thing I can tell you is that, well, No, they're broken down pretty much evenly. I mean, the reason we got our SDC charges lower with the revised methodology is because larger portions of the projects were set over here because they don't apply to the expansion of the system to new customers. So if we would have had our SDC be higher, these SDC numbers, these net capital project costs, would have been a lot higher and closer to these actual numbers. I don't know if that makes sense or makes it more confusing. I think the hard part is they're just two different topics.
Right. And your project costs include loans from IFA and other agencies that are getting wrapped into that SDC number, where this bonding number, again, this is just USDA's loan. And so you might have $1 million of loan from IFA that's going to show up in your SDC that isn't going to show up in this bonding amount because it's not a USDA loan.
Yeah. We should have included, it would have been good to include because that had seven different funders.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so this is just about one funder.
Exactly.
It happens to be the biggest funder.
Yep.
Which is why it looks, these
best are funder, numbers. Best interest rate.
Just one funder.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And one thing, let me throw this out to you real quick. Are these are 40-year loans with USDA?
Through USDA, yep.
40-year loans with, what was, they didn't move the interest rate this quarter.
No, it's still 2.875, I think, is that right?
Under 3%. That's
the latest, yeah.
Free, that's not free money, but it's
Brad, right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good, very, very good interest rate.
Brad, what's the interest rate, remember?
No, I think that's correct. It's been under 3 for quite some time.
Right, right. So, Don, I'll get that form again, that handout, and get that to you so we can go through. Just roughly speaking, again, I think we got the water and wastewater backwards, but if you're talking $14.3 million for the wastewater project, that's like the total project cost, roughly speaking. You got 2.5 of grant from USDA. So that's, I don't do math in public, but that's 11.8 million.
I don't do math at all.
So that's 11.8 million. And then you've got $2 million from other funds between IFA and DEQ that we applied for. So what's left is that 9.8, roughly. So just in rough numbers, not exactly, I can get you the breakdown more exact, but that's kind of the methodology there.
And I just confirmed, too, that I do have those switched. So in your handout, page 2, the water system should be the 7.8 and the wastewater should be the 9.8. Apologize for that.
The wastewater is more expensive.
Yeah, those two numbers are switched in the table, which obviously would switch the suggested bonding amounts to, the 11 would be for the wastewater and the 9 would be for the water.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for catching that, Don. Anything else? Continue on then.
Okay, thank you. bonding attorney, there's Hawkins, Delafield, and Wood is a very well-known bonding attorney company, and we've engaged them with Corey's approval to prepare this paperwork. The bonding attorney costs are within the estimated project costs, so this is something that's accounted for in the project, and they're underway of preparing the paperwork. So that's done. There'll be some questions as we go, but they're pretty simple. They're really good at this and do it all the time. And they're the largest well-known bonding attorney company in the nation. So they're pretty reliable, and they have a comfort factor with USDA. I'm sorry, I should say that the other way around. USDA is pretty comfortable with their work. So it's a good entity to use. And the bottom of page 2 for the schedule, in talking with them and getting this going, their premier bonding attorney that we like to use is on the middle of a vacation right now, so these dates are a little bit different. And we checked with USDA, and they're fine with the schedule. That's how I understood that email from Kimberly today. So if you look at the bottom of page 2, I think we'll have the third bullet, we'll have all the paperwork probably ready for the council around the third week of April, so it'd be about April 21st. And we'll have all the paperwork to you ahead of time for your consideration at the May 10th council meeting. So the middle bullet would be May 10th instead of April 12th. And then at that council meeting, assuming, you know, the council's comfortable and everything's in order, you would then act on that resolution, pass it, and then that would give you, or give Corey, city staff, the approval they need to publish the notice in the paper, probably the week of, you know, the next week, the week of May 17th, once during that week, and that would start the remonstrance period, which would then end roughly 60 days later, which puts you in mid-July. And assuming there were no remonstrance, then you would have bonding authority, which is a critical step in securing your USDA funds.
Okay.
So that's the timeline.
That sounds good, and you know, we'll get Councilman Greiner, we'll, whatever figures you want, we'll, you know, we've got so much paperwork on this already that I'm sure it's there already. So we don't actually vote on anything until you get everything together in mid-April.
Correct, yeah. So we'll have the paperwork with plenty of time to review it before your May 10th council meeting. So hopefully at the May 10th council meeting, it's something that you're all getting ready for. And that's when you would approve it.
Okay. What do you need from us tonight? Anything? Just
I think. Well, go ahead, Corey.
Just making sure that everyone is still comfortable with the direction we're heading, which is towards having these projects get under construction. Right. I mean, it's still years out, but again, lining up the funding package. That's what we've been stepping through all these hoops, whether it's CDBG, whether it's USDA, there will be others. And so, again, if it's just a general trajectory, that's what I'm going to make sure council's informed and comfortable and still on board with the direction staff is moving.
Because with all the grants and everything, we'll be having various of these conversations, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, that's the goal.
So then that puts it back to late August for the actual bonding obtained.
Late July.
Late July.
Yeah. Yeah. 60 days after the public notice.
Okay.
Yeah.
If we get July. The last, second to last bullet point, late, mid July, then it should be late July.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. And at that point, USDA should have everything else, you know, all done and all the other analyses. They should just be waiting at that point for that to happen. And then the city would then be, it would be time to decide on accepting the funding. Or not would be very shortly thereafter. You'll know what the whole package is, and it'll all be clear to you in terms of grants and loans.
Okay, great. Moving right ahead.
Okay, anything else on this right
anybody
now?
Anybody else have any questions on it? Or?
No.
Okay, stay okay. Tuned for more about a month from now.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brad.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you later.
Sounds good, Brad. We'll be in touch.
Okay, bye.
Okay, the next one, we'll jump into a discussion on implementing ordinances for water and wastewater.
Yes.
STC charters.
So Jake and I have been working with John, who was did the presentation a few months ago on the latest version of the STC methodology. So again, these are the charges, the one-time charges that someone who connects to the system has to pay. And in Lapine, the city, we only have water and sewer SDCs. And so what you have in your packet is a draft ordinance. This is what's called the implementing ordinance that essentially refers back to this packet, which is essentially the study results that we all went through at previous work sessions.
Methodology.
The methodology, exactly. And so what I'm going to pass out, just one more piece of paper, is an updated phase schedule. Pass a couple of those down. Thanks. Thank you.
Make it easier for you. We know the methodology now.
So, with the methodology, what we were doing was getting locked in how much of each project was eligible to be broken down into the system development charges. And then we knew what the proposed system development charges were with the last time we talked with John. What we don't know and what council has yet to do is adopt those new charges and decide Are you going to go from our current charge all the way up to the new SDC? Or a lot of times what cities do is they phase it in. Sometimes over several years, sometimes over more. So in the last page of the packet, I think it's the last page.
Well, the page you just got handed.
It's the last, well, it's close to the back. Yeah. This page in the packet is, I just handed out a new updated phase-in schedule. And the reason I just handed you a new one is because the one in your packet shows, wait, did the new one get in there?
No, that's the old one. It's the same date, but this needs to be shifted.
Oh, the date, there you go, okay. So one, originally what John had put together in the phasing schedule is that the first increase would occur July 1 of this year. Well, staff in doing work on this project has been talking with developers and telling them they're preparing for this construction season. Right? So we've been telling them that, hey, what you have penciled into your pro forma and your budget right now will be the same this summer. So I think it's wise for the city to honor that and to give people a heads up when they're preparing for, you know, next summer's construction season so they know exactly what that charge will be way ahead of time. So basically what we did is instead of having it go up by a little bit in July, we recommend with John that the first increase happened next January, January 1, 2018, and that what the increase would have been, so essentially starting the increase July 1, but not charging it, and then doing both increases at one time in January. Does that
make up for
that? Does that make sense? To make up for the lost increase of July. So what that does, if you look at the new sheet I passed out, is basically it means that it starts the phase in January, and then it phases in over the following 3 years.
But the jump is higher. That's what the difference is in the two sheets. I was like, most of the numbers are looking exactly the same, and then I finally caught it.
For example, you're going to see a $600 jump in the water SDC from the current to January 1st, where the last one it had $300 for that jump. But we pushed it back farther to allow construction season to end. We figured January 1st of 2018 would be the beginning of a new construction season. That's why we wanted to absorb that into that date.
So basically it's like $850 increase come January 1st.
Combined.
For both. Mm-hmm. Water and sewer, correct. Mm-hmm.
And the total fee after 4 years goes from $7,100 mm-hmm. to $10,500.
Yes.
You know, but that's over a 4 year period.
Basically, yeah.
Essentially, yeah.
You know, so
January 1st, 2021.
And we might add that we only have water and sewer where other cities have
stormwater, streets, parks and rec.
Mm-hmm. And I remember the figures from before. I mean, this is still substantial. The $10,000 is substantially less than what other cities are charging. Mm-hmm. You know, for water and sewer.
Yeah. If you're looking at it from the perspective of comparing among cities, which I think there's some benefit of doing that, that's correct. If you're looking at the X's and O's of what this methodology is created upon, it only pays for the growth-related new water and sewer infrastructure that we're looking to do with these projects. So, and that's why with COBA, and they have a letter, we included it in the packet, a letter from COBA in here. That's why, you know, they were, and my hat's off to them, honestly. You know, they said, hey, you need to relook at your methodology and clean some of this up. And we did. And what that did was bring the SDC cost down, and it got it more in line with what the law says and how the methodology should be created. So the main question tonight for all of you is, what are you comfortable with, A, moving forward with implementing the proposed new SDC, and B, this phase-in schedule? Because we have this date set already. We had to notice it 90 days ahead of time. So a month and a half ago, we put on the calendar May 24th. So there will be a public hearing on this item the 24th. But we just want to make sure that everyone's comfortable and in agreement with this. And if not, staff can work and tweak it and bring it back next month and get it lined up. So looking for feedback.
Let's have some comments. And what do you think, Doug? Go around. Starting with you.
You're jumping on me, aren't you?
That's right.
No, I looked it all over, and I think I'm comfortable with it. I think it's fine. And as far as the specific dates here, I think I can't see any problem with the new corrected date. My personal opinion.
Okay, Karen?
I'm comfortable with it.
Okay. Connie?
I'm good with it.
Stu? Cool?
Yep.
Okay, I think if Cobra's agreeing with it, then it's a pretty good thing. You know?
They don't like increased fees.
No.
Nobody does.
Yeah. And we're in the beginning, we were talking just an increase, and then we were talking 3 years, and now it's 4 years every 6 months, so I think this is
pretty fair,
more than fair.
And the methodology will still be in place till in July of this year. We just won't increase the SDC rates,
right. But
the how we calculate them is going to be different. It'll be more Beener-based, which is a lot. It's really important on our end, and I'm not going through each building and counting EDUs and assuming how much water they're using, which the meter will accurately tell you how much water they're using.
So is everybody comfortable moving ahead then? Okay, Corey, I guess everybody, no objection, so.
Somebody needs to get that shade.
Uh-oh.
It just like happened that quick.
Yeah, no.
It's actually that time of year.
Yeah.
That's why I said it just happened just like that.
She didn't join that sun because
I do. I just can't see a thing.
Oh, see, we complain because there's no sunshine.
I like the sun.
Okay, that's done with. We're good. Good on that one. Item 8, discussion on marijuana processing amendments to the zoning ordinance.
Okay, let me get
marijuana
Tammy.
Again.
Yes, let me get Tammy Whiskey. Our city planner on the speakerphone. She's going to be with us for the next two agenda items.
I should have broke that thing.
Hello, this is Tammy.
Hi, Tammy. It's Corey, the Lapine City Council, and the public in attendance.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
We're going to discuss the marijuana processing amendment to the zoning ordinance.
Great. Corey, do you want me to just jump in?
Yeah, if you could, I think one thing that's important, too, as almost with any issue I feel like we're dealing with these days is there's so many different pieces to all these topics, right? So we just finished talking about our big wastewater projects and lots of numbers, big numbers. And then with marijuana, we all know that, you know, we've been talking about that for a few years, you know, medical, recreational, retail, production, processing. So if you could just frame the issue tonight specifically is about processing and sort of what we would like some input from council on, that would be really helpful.
Okay, no problem. And I guess, backing up a step, if I could, the amendment, there's going to be a couple of things coming before council, and I think the one you're asking me to focus on is our specific question related to processing.
Yeah.
And that will be part of a bigger picture of an ordinance that has been drafted by BLJ but has not gone to Planning Commission yet, and so we would really like some input from council on the way to position a couple of uses. So right now, the ordinance, the zoning ordinance in particular, is silent on specific marijuana processing uses. So there are a couple different categories of processing within the OLCC requirements. There's the extractions and concentrates, creation of them. And then there are also the processing of or creation of, say, a food product that's using already created extracts or concentrates. So right now, the way the draft document has been drafted by BLJ for the city's consideration, and things can move around as needed, but right now all of those processing requirements or processing categories are proposed to be placed in the industrial zone as a conditional use. And our specific question to council tonight, just to hear some feedback on and how we should proceed in drafting the ordinance, is do you feel that the processing, the combination of processing, the large group of processing, be it the extraction concentrates and what we're calling some sort of food processing, the use of those products into edible materials or edible products, do you feel those should all be within the industrial zone and conditionally as a conditional use, or do you want them broken out in any fashion, so broken out by extracts and creation of extracts and concentrates, and then a second category for creation of edible products using those extracts and concentrates that already exist? That, I think, is our immediate question. There is a whole amendment that is drafted that we can certainly talk through, but just to cut to the chase, that's a specific question we would love to hear your discussion on.
Okay, let's go around.
And if I can clarify, let me know, because that was a lot of different uses.
Let's take that piece first and go around the council table here and see what they have to say on that one. Start with Stu.
Well, you've been going with Don.
Well, we got to switch it up a little bit.
I guess my first question is, we have already have some, I believe, a business extracting or handling extracted material. Is that correct?
I don't know if they're in process or not. You may know more than I do about that. We did have a conditional use that came before the city quite some time ago for a concentrates facility. I don't know if they're up and running, though.
They're not. From my understanding, that conditional use, that may have been a year ago at this point, Tammy.
Yeah, I think it probably was.
And so that, so before any processing companies or production companies open new ones, they must get a recreational marijuana license from the city. And we have not had one of those happen yet. So the fact that they have conditional use is one thing. I think they then moved on to maybe doing some internal retrofits, maybe with the county, building permits, things like that. And then before they commence operations, they need to come back to the city and get, essentially it would be, we would go through the process, you would do a walkthrough, we'd verify that everything's in order appropriately, and then sign off on that, and then they could commence business. That was approved under the existing zoning ordinance, which is murky at best, because it doesn't specifically address marijuana processing. So that's, I don't know if that kind of answers your question or not.
Well, and she, when you're mentioning extract and production, I mean, are we talking two different things? Are we talking
yes.
the same
They're
thing?
They're two different things.
Then, are we in the industrial park or are we in the business park?
The business park is zoned industrial, just like all that land, whether it's the larger lots, the business park, or east of the tracks, is all zoned industrial.
Okay.
So that's all in the industrial zone. Production is the growing of the plant. Okay, we're not talking about that tonight. We've already passed amendments that say that indoor agriculture must be in the industrial zone. It must be in a permanent, rigid structure, no hoop houses, that type of thing. So we crossed that bridge a while ago. Processing, there's really two different types. There's the scary type of processing that you might hear on the news of someone doing something in a garage with butane or something else and they blow their garage up. That's because they're taking plant material, they're taking leaves and other things, and they're, I don't know what they're doing to it, but they're doing something to it, and they're getting a product that comes out that's, you know, an oil or something like that, right? That's an industrial process. I don't think we're questioning that tonight. We want that in the industrial zone, right? That's a industrial processing type thing. The other less scary type of processing is after they've gone through that process and someone puts the concentrate material in a little liquid, or I don't know how it comes, kind of form, and then they're making brownies or they're making candies or they're making caramels or something,
Tammy and I are meeting with someone about the less scary concentrate part tomorrow.
There's no less.
Who wants to make? Okay, sorry. Well, they're not doing an industrial process. They're taking ingredients. Maybe it's sugar, maybe it's flour, maybe it's gummy bears, and they're mixing it with something. Not through a chemical. They're not.
Well, they can make marijuana just with butter.
Okay, so they're taking that and mixing it and making an edible product. So the OLCC has a concentrate license, an extract license, and an edible license. And so it's all processing in our mind, but we need to clarify in the code, do we want to allow the food making, the edible part, in anywhere besides the industrial zone?
No.
That's what we need to find out.
And that's very simple. Either in the industrial zone, or we're going outside of that area.
Pretty much. Tammy, is that?
That's a great summary, yes.
Okay.
So and I think, and backing it up a little bit, you know, to Stu's point of, you know, don't we have one of these already? We've come to the point where we're receiving so many inquiries on a daily basis for marijuana-related uses, and the code is so, as Corey described, murky because it wasn't an allowed use up until recently. So the code doesn't address it, and the city has been having to try and figure out where it kind of fits and where it makes sense, which at this point it's a large enough use with generating enough interest. We see significant value as does the city's legal counsel that it really be spelled out in the code for each of the different types of uses and where they should all be and what are the review criteria upon which they could be approved for their licenses. So it cleans up the process, I think, for the city as well as the business owners.
Okay.
By doing this.
We're going to continue around the table for the counselors, Tammy.
Great.
Connie?
Hi, Tammy. It's Connie. Hey, my questions are, so apparently there's some concern about whether or not it's less dangerous whether they're doing extracts, concentrates, or using it to make food. What's your take on that?
You know, I don't know the industry, the ins and outs of the industry. I've not been in those facilities to see it occur myself. I am scheduling some tours so that I can become more knowledgeable on it. That is my understanding from talking to folks, that there is certainly a differentiation between creating the extracts and the concentrates versus using the already created product and mixing it into an edible. It's my understanding that there is a safety factor in between those. I can't speak to the details of how exactly those are related. Certainly the edibles will have to go through a kitchen inspection, and there's a level of food safety by the Department of Ag and food inspections, whereas the extracts concentrates has, I believe, more of a fire hazard and heavy fire marshal oversight on their building construction. So they're certainly different, but the intricacies of them, I am in the process of learning.
Okay. The other thing is this is specifically for processing and not for sales. So if we said, okay, you could process it, it doesn't mean that they could sell it, display it. So when I think about youth seeing gummy bears in downtown Lapine, you know, thinking that it's candy and it's so not. That's
correct. Yeah, correct. This does separate those. We're just talking about specifically the processing. And the ordinance that is drafted right now includes a lot of other, it includes criteria for each of the categories, which would certainly come before Planning Commission, before you for significant debate and discussion. But in order to move that forward, we would love to get the feedback specifically on the processing piece.
Well, I appreciate, that's my questions. I do have concerns about whether or not there's a safety issue with the food side of it as well, but obviously you don't know that and you're learning, but I'd like to know more as well.
Yeah, definitely. And just to answer a little bit more, I think, of your question, right now the draft ordinance that the BLJ drafted, it does include an additional criteria for processing facilities that no retail sales may occur at the same location as a processing facility. So somebody that's making the extracts and tinctures or making the gummy bears and brownies can't then turn it into a bakery and sell them at at their same facility.
Great, thank you, Tammy.
Mm-hmm.
Karen Ward, my question is how much odor are we going to have with this, if any?
That's a great question, and I will put that on my my list to ask other municipalities that are dealing with it. My understanding is the odor is more significant from the grow operation, but again, I am not an expert in this industry, so I will find out.
Okay, and then the other question I have to ask is there a limit to how many bakeries that we could have? That's what I'll call them, okay?
How many processing?
How many facilities?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. I'm scrolling through the draft.
Well, I think that
our limit is mostly on just the dispensaries.
Yeah, and I think, Tammy, I think that would be a question for the TPM.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the time, manner restrictions we put in place for the retail establishments. I don't think that anything is on the books or being proposed through this zoning ordinance amendment to change whether, you know, say, production can be right next to each other or processing can be right next to each other. I don't think that's included, Tammy, but I think that's a good question that we should look into and see what is allowed, what isn't. What could we do? Is that even an option to look at? So far, what I've seen in my time here is a lot of talk, about people inquiring about doing these things, and then a little bit of action in terms of actually applying and going through the land process. And then this summer is when we will find out how many of these things are really coming. We don't know. There's no way to really forecast that. So that's not a good answer, but I think I'm just trying to give you a little bit of perspective.
Say,
Don?
Yeah, and I would just follow on that if I could, relating to the odor and the TPM. That's correct. These amendments are not specifically amendments to the TPM. However, they do include additional approval criteria for each category of marijuana businesses. For example, there is a general requirement that all marijuana businesses in their application, their conditional use application, must demonstrate how measures to control odors will satisfy the requirements set forth in the TPM. And then there are several other review requirements as part of that conditional use process.
Okay. Don Greiner?
Tammy, I would like to see a separation between the extracts and the food processing. I think that it's kind of important that they're separated so they're not in the same facility. Is that possible under this? As far as the zoning, I don't think it makes any difference as to changing the zoning, but to change the actual authorization, I guess, to do those things. Do we have that authority, or does that come from the state?
So just so that I'm clear, you would like it separated so that somebody that is creating an extraction through the high-pressure process or heat process cannot, in the same facility, put that into, say, a brownie or a caramel or a gummy bear or an edible. Is that correct?
That's exactly what I think, because I feel that there's too much of a collusion type thing that can happen there. I'd like to see them separated.
I can look into that.
Okay, Tammy, there's a couple items here that should be added or subtracted or thought about. That's a time, place, and management, or not? Or do you think we're covered on that?
Well, I would say that right now, from my understanding, and what, let me say this first. One thing that Tammy is going to be doing and we're going to be doing with the legal counsel is, and it's one of the hard things about not having a lot of cities, bigger cities, have
their own legal counsel, yeah. Full-time legal counsel, right? So they get to keep tabs on what has the city already done, what's in place, how do they overlap, how do they contradict each other. I feel like over the last year, almost 2 years, as these things have just kind of been added on, I myself have had a hard time keeping track of what applies here, what applies there. I mean, I think that we're covered. I think we've got a lot of good things in place that protects the city, so I'm proud of that. But I think we're at the point with this latest round of amendments to really say, time out. Let's take an assessment of where we are on this entire landscape from A to Z and what's on the books, what can we change, what can we improve, that type of a thing. So with the whether they could be next to each other, right, like two producers or two processors, I don't think there's anything in place right now that says they can't do that. I don't think so. And I don't know if we could do that. I'm not sure at this point.
Okay, for right now, though, Tammy, you want our agreement that it should just be an industrial park, basically.
Industrial zone.
You know, I'm not recommending one way or another specifically on this, and not expecting to have a concrete answer necessarily, but wanting to see if there were any initial reactions to whether these specific edible processing, making of brownies, caramels, gummy bears, should be allowed anywhere other than the industrial park. So I'm certainly not coming to you saying it should be, but it's a question that has been raised. Thought we should get your feedback before we get too far down the road in development of the ordinance.
Let's go around the table one more time. Don, do you think it should just be limited to the industrial park?
I do, but I don't think that we should limit, say, a production from a distance, as long as they're separate organizations or separate businesses. In other words, and you can have an extract business here, and the next place can have a bakery in it, whatever, and that's fine as long as they don't work together.
But we should limit it to the industrial part.
Right, that's what I think.
Okay, Karen?
Well, when we first heard about the bakery, we were talking about some place in the sort of the middle of town. I do think that type thing does belong in the industrial park. Okay. It's out. It's not near anything. The children are a long ways from it. With the non-ability of a code enforcer or someone that's going to be totally on top of this all the time, where we don't have presence of the police or whatever, I do think that it needs to be monitored, but I don't know who and I don't know how. So, but the industrial park is where I think it should be.
I have a really hard time picturing any place that they'd put it in the city, you know, and I don't see any reason why it needs to be in the city if it's not for retail sales. Most of the land we have in the city is, the area is, other than the industrial park, would just don't even make sense to me, so I would agree that it pretty much needs to stay in the industrial park.
It was Bluewood Court.
Case two.
Well, you know, when people refer to the industrial park, it's actually two parks. You have the heavy industrial and then the light industrial. And one is on one side of the tracks and one is on the other side of the tracks. Is that correct, Tammy?
Roughly, yes. Yeah, there's the Newberry Business Park that is the smaller lots. What we think of as light industrial, although it is all zoned industrial, while we do have a light industrial zone in our zoning ordinance, we don't have any parcels designated as light industrial. But I would say that's a good description of the way the lots feel right now and the way they're kind of set up. Yes.
Okay, thanks. You know, and when I think of industrial out there, I'm picturing Scott Logging, the concrete plant. I understand biomass interested again. Is this going to be a fit in the industrial zone? is a proposal that you folks are looking at, does it mirror the county's ordinances, or does it mirror another city's ordinance?
It's based off Madras's code.
Off Madras's code.
Yeah, different. It'd be different with the county. They're dealing more with the rural residential issue.
Okay.
Because they don't really have an industrial land.
Because it would be nice, you know, if a city, if their zoning, you know, if it matched what the county zoning was going to be, so that would there'd be continuity. And that's, I don't know.
Well, I get what you're saying, but I think that since you're actually talking about the zone that's zoned industrial, which includes both the business park and the industrial park, and so it fits more like in the business park. Maybe it doesn't fit in the industrial park, but what we're saying is out there,
keep
either
it outside
way,
the city.
Versus.
Exactly.
But I have to work out there.
No, I know.
You know.
Well,
you get the benefits of it.
Okay, this is just the start. I mean, there's going to be public hearings. There's going to be this is a long process here.
Yeah.
So I guess if it's going to be allowed within the city, then that's the place it has to be.
So Tammy, I guess we're all on the same page on this. It should be in the industrial park.
Yes. That makes it easy. Okay. We will move forward in that direction.
So we can move ahead on that, and this will probably be a 3-4 month process.
That's correct. Yeah, so it's been noticed to DLCD. That is usually our schedule constraint because it takes at least a minimum of 35 days notice to DLCD before you can have your first hearing. So it will go before the Planning Commission, or at least plan to go before Planning Commission, I believe, in April, which means then it would come to City Council if they recommend it sometime probably in May for a few hearings.
Okay, on behalf of the council, I appreciate you coming to us and explaining all this before it goes
absolutely
to the commission.
Sure, no problem.
Okay, so we're done with that one. Let's move on to the discussion on Newberry Business Park covenants.
Yeah, and so I'm gonna kick it over to Stu and Dennis here when I'm done, and after Tammy shares some insight on this, because they were at the SLED, this Sun River Lapine Economic Development Board meeting yesterday, where some local business leaders shared their input on this topic as well. The gist of it is that with the Newberry Business Park, so that is just this area, the smaller half-acre lots, that's the Newberry Business Park. That's out Reed Road. With those lots back, and you have it included in your packet, I'm sure it was a joyful snooze of a read. Sorry, it's a legal document. They're what's called their covenants, CC&Rs. Think of a residential neighborhood that has CC&Rs and an HOA. That this is the equivalent of that, but for a business park. So this was put in place in 2002 by the county. Remember, 2002, well, you all know, no city existed. Deschutes County existed. Deschutes County doesn't really do urban areas. So the state was saying, well, Deschutes County, you need to do something. And so what they did was they worked with LIGI, which was the Lapine Industrial Group Incorporated, and they worked together to say, hey, we want this business park to be shaped in a certain way, developed in a certain way, and the county wasn't able to do it through their land use and site plan process, so they came up with these covenants, and in these covenants, it establishes that an architectural review committee would be put in place to look at people's applications. I buy this parcel of land, I want to put this building on it, I come to this architectural review committee established by LIGI, and I say, what do you think? They review it based on these criteria, and then I either get approved, or I have to change it, or I don't get approved. Okay? That existed and operated up until, from what I heard yesterday, about 2007. And the economy crashed, and it basically got kind of forgotten or set to the side. In the meantime, the city gets incorporated, the city takes over zoning from the county, and we've been processing site plan applications for buildings in the Newberry Business Park without knowing that these even exist. These get brought to our attention in the last month and a half-ish, and we've got, you know, kind of a contradiction. So what we staff is looking for, and I've been in conversations with the county, with James Lewis, the property manager, is we need to find out, okay, A, do we want these covenants to stay in place? And if so, how do we get the architecture review committee and go through that? Or do we think the county should remove them? That's one question. The second question is, if the county removes them, do we, as the land use body, want to put in place design standards that say that the building has to look a certain way? And I'm going to stop there, because the building is really the only question, because Tammy's done a lot of research in our code and found out that there's quite a bit of overlap between the process that this required and then now what the city has with our site plan process. So Tammy, if you could sketch that out and then we could, you know, again, get feedback, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was a great summary of where we're at and the information and feedback we're looking for. Pardon me?
Sorry, Jake just brought cookies and so he made a joke about it.
Nice. Jake always has cookies.
Sorry, Tammy.
So we all start giggling.
Exactly.
Maybe we better hurry up with those. We might not be here.
I know.
We'll be serious now. Go ahead.
So the CCNRs for the industrial park lay out a couple of different things. It lays out first what the applicant must submit to this design review committee, and that includes things, it's pretty detailed, things from site plan, architectural drawings, landscaping, topography plan, signage plan, and the idea is that all those would all go to this design review committee prior to submittal for site plan approval or any building permits. The document then also goes on to explain that design review committee has the ability to develop various architectural standards. It gives significant deference to that design review committee in developing those. The CCNR document in front of you does not include specific architectural standards other than to reference a dislike for metal-clad buildings unless they're built to not look like one. So with that caveat, it appears that the design review committee did review architectural features of buildings. However, the specifics of those requirements are not in this document. They're either held in a separate document or they may have not been created and they may have been operating based on a goal of what the Newbury Park should look like. The things that are included specifically in this plan or in the CCNR document are things like landscaping, talking about the design review committee having the ability to specify plant type, parking, requiring that all the parking be on site, no street parking, loading and storage needs to be done outside or on the site so that no vehicles are backing into the public right-of-way. No materials and supplies and equipment can be stored outside. Everything must be either screened or stored inside. Garbage areas must be screened. Lighting must be shielded. Those sorts of things. All of those things I mentioned are already covered almost with same wording as in the CCNR document. Those items are already covered in the zoning ordinance in the additional requirements for industrial properties. There are a few other references in the CCNRs that relate to architectural standards, like, and they're fairly general, like windows and doors should be placed considering the aesthetic impacts, or building forms and articulation of buildings should be used to reduce the scale of large buildings. But other than that, it doesn't get into the specifics of what the design review would be looking at. I think the crux of the question is exactly what Corey posed, is one, does the council want to have any architectural review standards for buildings within the industrial zone? And there can be some variation of that, or are there other design review criteria that you would like to see in the industrial park, such as something as simple as fencing? You could have some pretty awful looking chain link fences that maybe you'd want to, mitigate through a design review process, Or do you not want any standards at all? And the process that we need to look at is we've got these CCNRs that are still active. They'd be pretty difficult to enforce right now because there's no committee to enforce them. But what we need to decide is what do we do with these CCNRs? Do we adapt them to some design criteria and standards that the city wants to see that are above and beyond what's in the zoning ordinance, because so much of what's in here already is in the zoning ordinance, or do we ask that they be fully repealed because the city doesn't want to have any architectural design review standards? So it's a big question, and it has a process behind it, but I wanted to get your initial feedback to figure out which way to start heading in that process.
Okay, let's have Stu talk about what Sly talked about yesterday, I guess it was.
Right, when he has food in his mouth.
Oh, yeah. He's chewing. Hang on.
Those cookies got in the way. Well, again, Tammy, help me out here. This is the entire industrial park, or the light industrial versus heavy industrial?
Again, great question. This is specifically Newberry Business Park, so what you would be classifying as that lighter use, smaller lot.
Okay.
It is still zoned industrial, but it is the smaller business park, yes.
Okay. Because currently, if you drive through there, there's metal buildings, and there's some buildings with rock faces, with nice wood sidings, porches, etc. So
yes,
we've already got some buildings in violation, correct?
There
it sounds like it.
I don't know the answer because I don't know the design review standards that were applied in the past, because this CCNR document doesn't include any of those specific architectural standards. Okay. So I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, and then does this apply to the entire park or just to county-owned property?
This would be the entire park.
Okay. Well, again, from the comments at the SLED meeting yesterday, it was thought that we need to repeal the CCNRs because it's just another layer on top of what the city is already requiring, basically. And I tend to have to agree with that because, you know, it's a beautiful park, and I think if the city's already has its own standards set, you know, why bother with another layer of red tape? So that's basically the entire thought of the SLED committee. And actually, there was a motion made to repeal yesterday, but then it was amended to bring it to the council for recommendation and that good stuff.
And I'll add to that, I was at that meeting yesterday, Tammy. This is basically a piece of paper that's been out there hidden since the industrial park started.
Well, some people knew about it. Nobody asked the right people.
I mean, like Rick Allen's in charge of, you know, looking into that, the contracts and anything, and he didn't know about it. So it's to me, it's sort of a useless piece of paper because we've already covered it in our zoning ordinance. I mean, there's nothing in there except a review board. And if we really wanted that, I guess we could add it to our zoning requirements out there.
That's
correct. Yes.
That's the second question. Is
right.
Okay. We cover the landscaping, the stormwater, the parking, all that stuff, 95% of what's in that. What the city does not have is that if you're going to build out in that business park, you have to have 3 feet of rock wainscoting. It has to be, you know, just using that as an example, or some other design criteria. Right now, as long as it's a permanent structure, they can build it out there. So it could be a pole barn. It could be a steel building. It could be stick built and have a facade. They could do that if they wanted, but it's not a requirement. And so again, without knowing what the architectural standards that were put in place by this group, I think what the covenants say is that it's more teeth to do that if we wanted that. If we don't care so much about that, then the covenants don't really serve that much of a purpose.
and if we want to put design in place, it might be simpler to do it through the city's code. So there's kind of a few pieces to that.
So basically, we're just, the county actually has to get rid of this. It's not up to the city, right, Tammy?
That's correct. They would be looking to us, to us being the city, you all, the council, for a recommendation, on what they, so they came to the city asking us what do they want, what do we want them to do, what do you want to instruct them to do, and they were, I think, amenable to following the city's wishes on that. But that is correct. It is not our document, not the city's document, to repeat.
Okay, Stu has a few words here.
I'm waking up. Watch out. later on in our agenda is another topic from SLED about the campaign that's going to kick off. All this is tying in to giving EDCO and SLED the tools to market that park this summer. They're... You know, there's big plans for that, and you know, for Steve Parnell, our EDCO representative, to market this, you know, he needs to make sure of what he's telling the people. And do you have to go through two layers to build out there, or just one layer? So I think we need. That's why this was brought at the last kind of last minute on the agenda, was so the council could give SLED some direction.
Okay, let's get the other council members' opinion on this, Tammy. We're going to start with Karen. Karen, what do you, any opinions, any?
My thought is that what is out there is sort of like a mixture, okay? And if we start making restrictions on what something can look like or what the building can be made of, there are several businesses, for instance, a bakery, that we certainly couldn't say it's got to be made out of this, okay? I think one of the things that, in my mind, that I would like to see is that the area is kept clean, that it's presentable, and that's my important thing, is that it looks presentable, so that the rest of the people that would come in and maybe want to buy something would not feel that the curb appeal was something that they object to. So okay, that's
that,
my thought.
And that's all in our ordinances. So you would like to get rid of this or not?
Well, I don't think we have a choice. I mean, the land's owned by Deschutes County, so.
Well, no, they want our opinion. They want our recommendation.
So it's
that's my recommendation.
Okay, to
is get that rid it of. Stays and looks okay. Good and doesn't have any garbage in it and has curb appeal.
Okay.
Well, if I read this properly, according to this covenant, at the end, after all the lots are sold, it would become like a home homeowners association. That those people out there would serve their own selves, they would run the whole park by themselves without any problem or any concern of the city. In my opinion, I don't think that we should have a park like that that's ran by somebody else. I think the city should run it. So in my opinion, we should repeal this. As far as the looking how the buildings look and everything, I kind of like some of the restrictions they put in here as far as the building. And I wouldn't be objecting to seeing that there's some restrictions on what the buildings are. And I like the idea about the fences. Make sure that if we're going to put in a fence, they're going to be a neat-looking fence that will be aesthetically beautiful to others that might want to move to that area.
But in the long run, you think we should get rid of it
and turn it over to the city. Let them run.
Connie?
I agree. We should repeal the document, and I don't have any problems with our current standards with the city. I think that putting any more restrictions on that area is going to discourage people from moving there instead of encourage people from moving in there. And if SLED, who's currently trying to get people to move there, recommends that we get rid of it, I think that that's what we should do.
So everybody's recommending we get rid of it, Tammy.
I appreciate the feedback. Corey and I will start that process.
Okay, do we want to get into the next phase here?
In terms of
architectural design and stuff like that, or that's for another day?
I think that we can probably save that for another day. You mean in terms of whether to have them, and if so, what they would consist of?
Right.
I think we've got enough feedback basically to share with the county how the council feels in terms of getting rid of the covenants. And then I've been saying this for 6 months and I feel like a fool. I've been saying that we're going to be starting this TGM grant process and looking at our ordinances and some design standards along the Huntington downtown Main Street stretch. We are going to be starting that. I need to follow up with them again and say what's going on. But I think that it probably makes sense for the city to look at other parts of town. This would just be my recommendation. Before we start looking at the industrial zone regarding some of these types of restrictions. I mean, so let's table that conversation for another day. We can find out from the county how long this is going to take to play out. In the meantime, because Tammy's been processing site plan applications for buildings in that area, essentially these don't exist. Right. We're not telling people about it, so we're kind of operating status quo of the last, call it 10 years. So we'll work with the county, find out the timeline, and then bring back possibly the question for design standards another day.
Okay, you got anything else for us, Tammy?
I don't. Thank you all for your feedback. It's all very helpful.
Thank you, Tammy.
Okay, thanks, Tammy.
Thank you, Tammy. Tammy, real quick.
Have a good night.
Tammy?
Yes?
I apologize for my boo-boo last month.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'll send you an email.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sounds great. Uh-huh.
All right. Talk to you soon, Tammy. Bye.
Okay. Good. Okay, let's move on. Discussion of SLED advertising campaign for spring and summer 2017.
Yeah, so I'll pass this out, and then I'm going to say a few words. Before you start flipping through that, let me say a few words, please. This, you have a copy already, one more down there. I know everyone's excited.
Yeah, but
so basically, Stu and others in this room can speak to how long that industrial park has been there, how long the business park specifically has been there, and how maybe little activity has occurred there in the past. We all know we just went through a horrible economic recession. Things are looking better, and so SLED board, the city staff is really optimistic about getting new businesses out there. The big thing that we keep finding out over and over again is that people don't realize we're here. People are, spending a lot of money on industrial land in Bend. They've started spending a lot more money in Redmond. What's happened, though, is that those cities have filled up, and they have to expand their industrial zone to meet the demand. While we're down here trying to do jumping jacks and say, hey, we've already got the land. You don't need to wait for anything. We've got low SDCs. We've got lower land costs, water, sewer, power in the ground. It's ready to go. So one of the priorities for this spring and summer that Steve and myself have recommended to the SLED board is a marketing campaign. Get the word out, right? And so there's going to be multiple approaches to that. Steve and I will do things ourselves. We'll do some things. We already have done some things. But when in doubt, you do want a professional doing what you're trying to accomplish. So we reached out to, this is Mandala. That's their logo. They're the organization that the city worked with and the broader community worked with to do the branding initiative, to come up with the new logo and the slogan. So they, Matthew Bowler, who's the main point of contact for this organization, they spent a lot of time in the community doing interviews, I think they held an open house at the senior center. They sent out an online survey. They aggregated a lot of data and really got to know Lapine. So what we recommended was, what we did was reach out to them and say, hey, we want to pick up the torch and run with a little bit of marketing specifically on economic development and on the asset that we have, which is industrial land ready to go. So we thought time was kind of the essence, right? We're heading into, spring's already here, April will be here in a little over a week. So we thought time was the essence. So we reached out to them and asked for a more formal proposal on what
they're the experts in marketing. So we said, what do you recommend that we can do to get the word out? And so that's what this proposal is. So, sorry, if you want to flip to the first page, basically, I was a little redundant. You know, the purpose of the campaign that they're proposing in this proposal is for businesses seeking to target businesses seeking to relocate or expand, and then to focus the campaign specifically on Bend, right, our next door neighbor. We're not recruiting companies from Seattle or San Francisco. We've got neighbors next door. We're not trying to poach businesses, but if they are looking to expand and the need can't be met in Bend, they should come here. Absolutely. So that's the gist of the objective, which I think we're all aware of. Stop me if you have questions on this. And Stu and Dennis were at the board meeting yesterday where Steve and myself kind of shared what this presentation was and got some feedback from them. The campaign elements, they are recommending to do a digital advertising strategy targeting, again, owners in the Bend Redmond area. And specifically, they recommend creating a video that features the Newberry Business Park and the Findlay Butte Industrial Parks, and then he's sharing this video through different avenues, digital avenues. So it could be the website, could be YouTube, could be social media, could be other ways to reach people. They specifically said not to go in the route of a mailer, direct mailer type campaign. They said that's a low return on investment. We had talked about possibly doing some billboards up in the Redmond area, Bend area. They reached out to Carlson Signs. Basically, all the billboards are rented, so we kind of went, okay, it's not going to slow us down. We just got to shift to something different. This page, the tailored conversion environment, that's a fancy phrase. Basically, they're recommending that the content on the website, which I totally agree just needs to be done, is a spruced up and really encourages people to reach out to the city to talk about what's available here in Lapine in terms of industrial land. And then the final page is essentially the budget and the breakdown of how the funds for the proposal would be spent. And this is basically, call it a 90-day campaign, could be a little more than that, 120-day campaign that would kick off, you know, late spring and run through summer, trying to get people's attention on industrial land here in Lapine. Let's keep in mind, because I think this is important, with any land that's owned by the county and sold in the industrial park, minus expenses of processing, you know, the transaction, maybe legal fees, it's a small portion. The city gets half of that money. So that can add up pretty quick if you sell some large parcels of land. So there's an interest for everyone, creating jobs, getting funds to work with and create more jobs and go around. So here tonight, basically to get a sense of what all you think, these funds would come from the city's budget, because that's where the SLED board's budget last this year, we created an industrial and economic development fund to sort of track industrial leases, purchase options, paying for half of Steve's position, and then also some expenses like this or other type of projects. So
we have some funds in there now.
We, in that fund specifically, I would say we don't quite have enough to cover this. I would think that we could probably take $7,500 out of that fund, and then we would need to cover the rest out of, I would say, the general fund. Which in the contracted services section of the general fund, we have a lot of surplus because, again, we budgeted for Sustainable City Year, which was $40,000, and we didn't end up spending any of those funds out of that. So we have the money for sure to pay for this. I think the question is whether it's a priority, and maybe you guys can shed a little bit of light on what SLED said in terms of whether it was a priority.
Well, you know, I think also some funding issues were, or thoughts were, EDCO itself, the regional folks might be able to kick in. Because Roger, you know, has a soft spot, Roger Lee, who's the director of EDCO, has a soft spot for Lapine, so I think if a couple of us go up there and get on hand and foot, we could probably come up with some more funding.
And he was here at that meeting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was a feeling of the entire board, which also includes Sun River, you know, they have representatives, they're part of this too. So it's a vital piece for the whole area. And I think, I don't know about anyone else, but you can feel it. I mean, things are already happening so fast right now, we can't keep up with stuff. I think the city has, you know, they're running around with all kinds of projects going on. Private industry out here is running around with stuff going on. You know, Rex LeSueur, he's on the board. He was telling us that Cycle Oregon is coming back through, so that's several thousand people coming to this community for a weekend, you know, who go back home and tell people, and they tell people, and they tell people. And if our industrial area is looking nice, who knows? One thing that they did mention in the Mandela, they want to do a drone video, is what they're thinking. And I've always thought that you take a drone out there in the park, you get it up, you look down at everything, and you get Bachelor over this direction, you get Palina. We're the only place in Central Oregon that still has property where you can sit in your office and dream about skiing. You know, I watch the NBA basketball, but that doesn't matter. So I think, you know, any funds that could be available that the city could kick in for this would be money well spent.
Okay, Connie, what's your opinions?
Well, kudos for using Mandela, because they already know the. I mean, why recreate the wheel and have somebody else go turn around and learn more about the city when they've done the research, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate Stu answering that EDCO might want to put in some funds, because as much as I think it's a positive direction to go in a marketing campaign is a great idea, we do split that. I mean, we do get 50% of it, we don't get 100% of it, and therefore I don't think we should be putting 100% of getting it sold, you know, and the efforts into it directly on
and
that.
Just to clarify, so the county gets the other half.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right, I understand that. Okay. But the county also pays part of EDCO's budget and stuff too, so it all
would. Yeah, half on that position.
Exactly.
Yeah, correct.
So I think that, and if EDCO could help with some of that, or the county could help with some of the funds or something to where the city's not paying 100% of that, then I think that would be good. I'm not in favor of taking it out of the Sustainable City Year program, but I that's just my personal opinion. I want to see the Sustainable City program go. I think it's a good thing, and you know, whether we spent the money this year or not, I still think that we heard that we'll probably get it next year, so I'd like to see the money continue to be focused on that. So that's my thoughts.
I know this. I know that I was really surprised at what response I got on my campaign with Facebook ads, because I had responses from all over the United States saying that they'd be willing to vote for me. It just amazed me, the response. As far as going ahead with this, if we want to really get behind the marketing, this is the way to go, I'm for.
I agree. There's something that's said to me quite often. You have a senior center in La Pine. We sat right on Huntington Road with a great big sign. So I do think that a paid marketing would be a good way to go, and our website to let them know we actually have a business park here, that we would like you to come and put a business in, because I don't think they know it's there. As well as they don't know a lot of other things that are here. So we need to advertise it. We need to put it out there front and center so that they know.
Okay, so basically it's a go, but just see if you can drag some money out of
the county,
and that everyone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
It amounts to $4,000. You know, get a little money out of them, it'd be great.
And I was exploring EDCO's website and our own website. We need to have them update. It still has Leland Smith as a contact, who was what was the acronym before SLED?
LIGGY. That's on HEDCO's website?
That's on HEDCO's website. Oh. So we need to have all that updated.
I'll tell Steve about that. He can work with them. I'll send some emails and make some phone calls to see if it seems like we could get some contribution to help pay for this campaign. My only concern would be delaying the campaign by too much to wait for that, because I think the sooner the better. But that doesn't mean that we would, you know, tell Mandala to start tomorrow. So I could send emails and phone calls tomorrow and then see what we get, a general sense. If it seems like it's possible, we can work it a little more. If it seems like you're just getting a cold, you know, no, then maybe not. So if we didn't end up getting extra funds from EDCO or the county, are you all still generally in support of finding ways in the city's budget to pay for it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Just try your best.
Keep you in the loop. We'll do.
I'll help you, babe.
Thank you. Please do.
Nice.
If you maybe you want to take EDCO, you pick which,
I'll take
you want. I'll pick EDCO.
Thanks. Okay, let's move on to number 12, discussion on proposal for City Hall server upgrades and IT support.
Just let's take a little time on the landscape architects, or else Stu will not go on.
I'm sorry.
Okay. 11.
You almost crossed it off on me. You almost had a contract put out on you.
Yeah, okay. Sorry about that. Number 11, we're backing up. Discussion on proposal of landscape architects for City Hall monument sign project.
Yes, so we didn't include these in your packets again. We sent these out via email, and these are the three proposals that were solicited back in the fall. I guess the most recent one was in February. And they are, as a reminder, their proposal to design, their landscape architects and engineers to design a monument sign. And you know, depending on which city you're driving through, some have nicer ones than others. The one I think of kind of right off the bat is, if you drive through Madras, they've got some really nice new signage that they put up recently. And so the idea would be to have a signature monument sign, and I know at least one person would lobby and like to see flagpoles included in that design.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is. There would be landscaping. How would the sign look? It would incorporate our new logo. There'd be flagpoles. It would be something that needs to be designed by someone who has a better eye than myself. You know, again, back to professionals. And so the thought would be for it to be here at City Hall and essentially replace, and again, this would be part of the conversation, so I'm not picking this spot, but I'm just saying it would be here at City Hall, somewhere on this complex. And we have funds in the budget, for this year to piece from a few different funds this project, okay? Part of probably what would occur with this project is maybe paving out the city's parking lot a little bit as well. That's different than designing the sign, but I'm just trying to give you a sense of, it would be taking this City Hall complex to another level, okay? So these are the three proposals that were solicited. I'm assuming each of you took a look at it. There's a couple ways we could go about this. If you really wanted, you could invite all of them, two of them, one of them to come and talk with you if you wanted that. If you feel based on price strongly one way or the other, or if you feel based strongly on sort of the proposal that they put together and their qualifications. So I'm going to turn it over to all of you.
Back up a little bit. We all agreed that we're going to do this project. That was last year. It was just the proposal. We had one proposal. Now we're going recommended that we had more of them.
Okay, so yeah,
the proposal.
So back in the fall, we budgeted for it. We budgeted for it. And so back in the fall, so we put together also a qualified consultants list that allows the city to do what's called direct appointment and hire someone specifically based off that list if the city wants to use them. Again, it has to follow our public contracting rules and all that. It can't be over a certain amount, all that kind of stuff. This Zabo Landscape Architects was on that list. And the way the list was created is we put out an RFP and we said, hey, if you're interested in being on this list, submit proposals. And then everybody that submitted one, we put it on the list. So I reached out and got this proposal from Zabo. And then there was a lot going on in the fall and some differing opinions. And so it kind of got, the brakes got put on it. And then in the meantime, I solicited a couple other proposals that we, for all of us to look at, and the city to make the best decision on moving forward with who to design the work.
And I'll just start it off on the comments. I propose that we go with the original one, which is the middle one.
Pricing-wise?
Right, pricing-wise. I think we got a higher one, a lower one. I mean,
you're talking about Szabo?
Yeah. That's just me. It's up to you guys, though. So that's just to start it off. Go ahead, Don.
Well, first of all, I read all the contracts, looked them over. I went from there to their websites, each one of them, looked them over. The highest priced one was HHPR. They wanted $14,990, and they indicated that there would probably be additional services involved, which would be open the door for more money. Battleson Design, he only has 10 years experience, but he grew up locally. I went to Bend to find schools, University of Oregon graduate, and he offered to do it for $5,085. However, he had no abortionist, or not abortionist, but what do you, these people that grow plants. And that would be over and above it. And so I came up with the same idea. Szabo is, there's two local men in there, they're local. They have good references. They too could possibly have additionals, but theirs is at $85 an hour, and these others have different hourly rates. So that's my, if you just want to go with what's here, that's my opinion. The Szabo is the correct one. Sometimes it isn't the best to do the lowest.
Well, that was quick, Karen.
But I would like to see him come in, or them, or her, come and talk to us and actually tell us what they're doing, have in mind.
Yeah. So yeah. With the Szabo proposal, and there's similar breakouts in each of the other proposals, so I'll give them all that same credit, but just from what I've heard, in the Szabo proposal, there would be a project startup and kickoff, so they would meet with all of you, they would inventory and analyze the site conditions, opportunities, and constraints, they'd do some more due diligence research, and then ultimately they would do what conceptual design, where they would do at least one, if not two or three meetings, again, with the public, with the city council. You guys are going to design this, and whoever shows up at the meetings are going to design this. They're going to take elements of that, just like Mandala did with the branding initiative, and say, okay, you like this, we want flagpoles, we want this, and then they're going to put it together and design the whole thing.
Okay, let's go back to
what do you think? I'd like to have both the two lower ones come out and talk to us. I think that prices can be way different. I have degrees in landscape design myself. I actually have, that's what I went to college for, was landscape turf grass. So I know that if one guy's a smaller company, he's going to have less fees, less overhead. His prices could be less. Plan on doing the same thing as that Szabo did. I believe that Szabo probably had more time because they went out with the two of you, which is before I was on council, but and had more of a discussion. So their proposal could be higher based on information that they received that the other people didn't as well. So I'd like to give both the lower two the opportunity to have us decide between them.
Okay, Stu.
That's my opinion.
I want them all down here. I mean, get them all together and just have them tell us, give us their design, and let them go out with the shovel and put the whole thing up and be done with the damn thing.
Right. I mean, we're talking about
damn.
It.
Damn.
So you'd like them all to come to council?
No, I'll settle for, like Connie, I'll go with the lower two. Let's get them down here, get them on the phone, and see them next week.
Next week.
But, you know, I went on their websites also. The only concern I have is Szabo, after looking at their website, is mostly private and corporate, where these folks have done work for the City of Bend, City of Redmond, ODOT, Bend Lapine School District, Crook County, Klamath County.
Okay. Well, we're sort of two and two here. Do you agree with having them come down?
It's no difference to me. I mean, I know I have my preferences, But that doesn't mean that I won't change my mind if they come up with a better idea.
Okay.
That's just common sense.
Have them both come down? The two lower ones?
Two of them.
Okay, I guess that's it.
Okay, what I'll do is I'm going to reach out to them because these proposals are a little old too, so I'll have them, I guess, essentially kind of update them to a degree if anything's changed in the last handful of months, and then probably April work session. End of April, have them down.
And ASAP, yeah.
So, well, at this point,
yeah,
likely what we're looking at is that this design process, so the reason, I'm going to say this because I feel like I want to say this.
Yeah.
The design could have occurred in October, November, December, January, and then the construction could have occurred in, you know, April, May, June. If the design is going to occur in, you know, who knows, maybe it could be constructed at the end of the summer. Essentially what I'm doing is rolling all that capital money in the proposal budget to next year. And so whether it's the end of the summer, whether it's the next spring, this is the step one. So I'll work with them to get them on the agenda to come down and do some interviews kind of type of things.
If in order to get it right, we have to wait till next spring, let's take the time and wait till next spring.
Oh, for
if
sure.
If it's going to takes that much time to get it right.
Sure.
Stu's waited for 25 years, another year.
So you just plant me down there when they
get it right. May be a memorial to you by at this rate.
Part of the architectural work, I could be the fountain out
there. Okay, that was decided. Now we're moving on to proposal for City Hall server upgrade.
Here lies Stu.
Finally got it.
This is all you, Corey.
So, in your packets, well, it's myself and it's staff. It's everybody to a degree. I won't call on Ashley. City, and I don't have all the history, but City Hall, you know, we've had this building for, I don't know, 5 years-ish, maybe a little more than that, 6, something like that. And I'm pretty confident that the IT that's upstairs, the server, and essentially everything that runs the city's email and stores all our files, everything on the share drive, is that old as well. Which, you know, you don't think that's that old, but in the world of IT, where everything's changing monthly or daily, that's kind of old. And so, the main thing that precipitated this staff report and this proposal is that since I've been here, we have an approach to IT that is things break, the internet stops working, the emails stop working, it's sporadic, we don't know what causes it, we call a local contractor, they come, they do something, they kind of fix it, it works for a few weeks, maybe works for a month, maybe works for a day, and then we got the same issue again, okay? So we had, two months ago, our internet or our email for
about a month and a half ago,
for like a week, over a week, our email was, for a couple days it was completely down, it wouldn't even work. Then it was back, but
it was sporadic.
But nothing, certain things were filtering through. Then it was crashed again, and then it came back, and then we're like, well, did anything that gets sent during that period go through? Well, we don't know for sure. Things could have just got lost out there in cyberspace. So, again, I think the gist of it is we have things break and we just keep going on the same way it is. And so we know it's going to happen and then we just pick up the phone or Ashley runs upstairs, restarts the server. We go through this song and dance, which is not productive. And I think, frankly, a liability for the city. So what upon recommendation from another small city in the region, I reached out to this VLOC Systems and had them come down and sat and talked with this Harrison Womack, who's their sales director. He said the first thing they do is they want to, they've already done this, they basically monitor your system for a week, and they find out what's wrong, where are you at in terms of your server and your email capability and all that stuff. Because they don't just want the business. If we don't make, their model is, if the company won't make certain upgrades or the organization won't make certain upgrades, they won't provide the service to you. Because they don't want to be getting phone calls every other week or more frequent than that things are broken. They want to get everything up, running smoothly, because that saves them time on having to maintain things and it saves the client cost and time as well because things are functioning. That's the goal. So they monitor the system. That's what this page is right here. And the I had no idea on this. The scariest part about this for me is that the server, which again is what hosts all the city's files, the city email system, out of six categories, three were deficient and two were critical. And one was up to standards. So found out also our server doesn't have a warranty. So if it went out tomorrow, we'd have to pay for the cost of a new server and install that server. And things should be backed up, but that's still a risk, and it would take a lot of time. You know, we wouldn't have time to order a server, get it installed. So bottom line, that coupled with consistent monthly IT issues, I worked with them, staff, Ashley, we worked with them, and we had them put together this proposal that would switch to them providing monthly service, and it would be they're recommending we do server upgrades. So I'm going to stop talking because I spelled that most of that out in the staff report, and you have the packet, so I generally want to get sort of a sense of
Let me add a little bit to that.
Sure.
I mean, the city has been, like Corey explained before, Rick Allen and everybody else, you know, they built the frame. And now even with Jake, he's been over, you know, you heard his report the other day. He's just been fixing things, updating it, and getting it all right. And I sort of think this is the same type of category. The city's now fine-tuning everything, and we definitely need, you know, we got a new website, we got everything else. We need to, you know, fine-tune our office now. So that's all I'm going to say. On to you, Connie.
I think as a business owner, I get it. And trying to run a business, putting a Band-Aid on it every time it breaks down, and you just want your computers to work.
Basically, you're trying to do your job, not fix it.
Exactly, and it's a waste of time when they don't. It's a waste of time and money at that point. And my only question was the number of email addresses based on our recommendations with the legal counsel at the last meeting, was that sufficient? Because now we need planning commission and things like that to have their own emails.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because part of this proposal, that they'd have to update that. And one thing too that I would work with them to update is they could offer Office 360, which is it's a development program, software program that. And I don't know the details, so I'd want to get examples and make sure it actually worked the way it would. But I think it would make everyone's experience, staff and council and planning commission and everyone else with the city emails experience with our system much easier to use. And so that would add a little bit of a monthly cost to this proposal. But in light of what legal counsel recommended in terms of everyone using their city email and then adding more city emails, it might be a worthwhile investment. Again, just if we're taking everything up a notch, that could make a lot of sense. So I would probably ask for them to revise that and then add additional emails and see how that impacted the cost.
Absolutely, I trust you. I think it needs to be done, so.
Okay.
Stu?
Yeah. The liability, mm-hmm. the security, it all comes back to council.
Mm-hmm.
So we're responsible for the security of the whole system. If we don't act on it, then we're the ones that are going to be held accountable, and rightly so. Our company did barely live through a meltdown, a whole server meltdown, mm-hmm. with an emergency backup failure. We lost everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, we spent 3 months rebuilding from scratch. Mm-hmm. And
That's
a no-brainer.
Done.
I'm in favor of doing it, especially when you get rid of the stupid email system that we haven't set up something else.
I knew you'd like that one.
And also, I'd like to recommend that you pay it by check, because there's a 3% fee if you pay it with credit card, if you read it.
Okay.
We wouldn't pay it with credit card.
Karen.
We need to do something.
Yeah.
I've been sitting on this council for 2.5 years. I have had that system for 8 years because of Doug. That system has never worked properly. I pull it up now today and it came on but it had so much attached to the screen that I couldn't figure out what it was trying to give me. So Ashley had to pull something for me. So to keep me out of jail and keep my laptop and my computer from going to the federal government or wherever it goes to, we need a better system.
And I'll also add, I think the last year's budget was $30,000 for projects.
We've got lots of funds spent towards this.
Yeah. So iPads for the council, is that what I heard?
That's another conversation. That's a conversation.
But what legal said, I mean, seriously.
No, that's legitimate. If the council felt that way, we could do that.
Well, because if you take my personal computer, it's what I use for my business and stuff too, that would be ugly. Same with you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if something got subpoenaed, then that would be detrimental.
Let's keep Karen out of jail, right?
Let's
put that on a work session in the near future.
Yes.
Well, I think the first and foremost is obviously getting this system and the infrastructure up to date, and then that's something that we can visit. But that is something that I think legal counsel recommended it because it's a good idea.
We're open to liability, right?
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. So a month and a half from now, we'll be having budget committee meetings. I think that's actually a really timely spot to talk about. Do we invest in new laptops and or iPads for council? I think that's a good spot for that. So if all of you could make a mental note to remember to bring that
up. But as far as this goes, let's just move.
Yeah, and so just to summarize really quickly, there's going to be a one-time, it's about $8,500. It's going to give us a brand new server. It's going to have a five-year warranty. If at any time during that 5 years the server, the hardware itself crashes, VLOX will cover, we'll get a new server because the warranty, and then B, VLOX will cover installing and getting that server back up to snuff. So that's a quick turnaround, which is great in case of an emergency. And then we're moving to a different monthly billing way for providing IT services. So just
put some. And you pay 2 months in advance, according to the contract.
Yeah. But if you looked at the, if you ever went through the checks that we pay,
they add up.
I've already looked at some of them, and I'm ready to chop some budget stuff.
Yeah. So this is actually not $8,500 that we're saving.
That's the one-time thing. Yeah, exactly.
That $8,500 will help me find some way to cut some other stuff.
Okay, we're moving ahead here. Cleanup day. We're talking about a little bit about discussion on city cleanup week. You're throwing my thing, huh?
I
think we briefly discussed it last time. We're just going to have a cleanup week. We're going to put some dumpsters out. Hopefully get a good deal from some company around here. I don't know. Maybe not. And Corey's going to look into that. And we'll do, you know, it's a ways off yet. It's the end of May. It's going to be the
30th.
The Memorial, the week after Memorial.
The week.
So it's actually not a full week. It'll be like 4 days.
We're advertising it.
Is that those dates set in stone?
Well, sort of. That's sort of what we've discussed to get them in before June. You know, the first. It's not set in stone, but we want it set in stone now.
Before school gets out and summer sprawl hits us?
Right.
The third?
You know.
Yes. I mean, calling
so the 30th, Tuesday the through.
Okay. Well, each other streetscape projects will be done by then, too, the ones that are going to be underway here pretty quick.
And it's just to get the city looking nice. But we're going to reach out into the residential areas, too. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think, what was the magic figure we used last year for $700 or something like that?
For
that cleanup day or cleanup week?
We'll have to look. I mean, again, we have lots of funds in the budget, and a lot of them are in very flexible line items. So I'm not advocating to just do a money dance.
Let's clean the budget out.
I'm looking for, you know, do you think it makes sense? And I have to work with Stu or maybe work with Andy, over at Wilderness Garbage to find out, you know, again, what are their requirements for, you know, how a dumpster should be, how long it can be out there, what can be put in there. How do we go about this? I don't know. But I think that's what we're kind of, I think it's better to talk about a little now to shape it and then work on it for the next month.
And then work on the details later.
You'll have to be nice to Andy because the person last time that's been in charge of this was not very nice to him, so.
I can promise you that.
Talk to Audrey and get her to make some fudge and take out and you'll get anything you want.
Good idea, too. Anyways, this whole project is just to reach out to the general public
and that's
helping
them
clean up. You know, it may not go over super well the first year, but it's a start.
Intentions will be good though.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, Shine on the Pine wants to be part of it. So, you know, they designed nice posters last year for it. No dumping ragweed across from.
And I better not see a bag.
I heard that.
Okay. Or the city will
we'll
start
care of that.
I like the local businesses throwing little gifts in there for raffles.
Yes.
I thought that was kind of neat. Michael thought that was pretty cool.
And at the end of the day, at the end of the week, instead of just having the people that cleaned up, I'd like to have a, and I'm open for all kinds of stuff like this, just have like a community picnic. You know? And I sort of like to, we'll talk about a Shine on the Pine, but I'd like them to revisit the businesses. And they'll handle the business part of it. And then for us to put dumpsters around, one maybe in your area, maybe up to Cago, some down here. But we can decide that after we figure out.
So what I'm hearing is work with Andy as the point person and find out what kind of a program and plan could be put in place either during this whole time period or a couple of days in this time period. You know, how much it will cost, how much the city needs to kick in, and then come back to council maybe on the April work session and say, this is what we got, what do you think? Add more to it, tailor it down, go with it. Does that sound like a fair approach?
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to know if the council's behind this.
Sure, yeah, no, that's a good step.
I am, Stu. One question is, how do we police those containers so that people don't throw their garbage in them?
And I'll let Andy take care of this.
Do they have a way to do it?
If I did it my way, we'd all be in jail. So
let's do it your way.
Yeah, but I'm for it.
You're for it?
Yeah.
Karen, are you for it?
Yes, absolutely. Especially the picnic.
Right.
And we'll work with the same people from prior so they aren't feeling left out, and so we'll organize that one. Okay.
I'd like it to be a community, you know, the businesses involved, whether Shine on the Pine gets been doing the printing and we get sponsors that help with some of that or sponsors that help with policing the dumpsters but you know, even Parks Department having a kids day to help clean up or something, you know, something to where it's more than just the city's doing a cleanup day and providing dumpsters here, dump it, you know.
And Matt's gonna get together with all the school and have them be part of it. Like after school, you know, the ROTC can help and
a business sponsoring the, you know, a kid award for the cleaning up or something, you know, something that gets the kids involved in it. And
so
I'm behind it. Go ahead.
Didn't you have sponsors for t-shirts last year?
Yep.
I could help talk to anybody with you too.
The first 200 people that came up got t-shirts. You know, they were printed for free. And
my girls got nightgowns out of it, basically.
Yeah. And they'll be different this year. They won't be Shine on the Pine. They'll be the city
logo on it.
You know, this a nice little pine cone and stuff like that. Maybe Shine on the Pine on the back. Or
the sponsors on the back.
Sponsors.
Put the sponsors name on the back.
You know, so that's sort of. You know, but Shine on the Pine, they should revisit the businesses and, you know, we'll just designate it.
So the final thing I would say, though, is that the city staff is going to stay out of any of that type of logistical coordinating and like businesses and picnics and things like that. We're going to work on the dumpsters and how to get that facilitated in some areas around town for
That sounds good.
Trash cleaning.
We don't want city staff involved.
Okay.
Just come by.
Now, wait a minute.
Send me the money.
Wait a minute.
Jake and I will reach out.
But the logistics of it, we'll take care of that end of it.
Yeah.
There. They can all.
And hopefully our park benches are like, you know.
Oh, yeah. You're going to hear about that in staff comments.
Okay, good. Okay, I won't go there.
Okay.
So let's decide on it. Let's move on.
Cookies are wearing off.
Public comments.
Lots of them.
Let's go.
This could take hours. Huh? I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm going to go backwards. So, yes, I really.
Name for the record.
Name it as.
Barbie Dunham. You want my address, Jake? Yeah, I live in a PO box. Okay. I like the idea of having the week-long thing doing that, and then on Saturday having the picnic. But I think we should have a band too, and I think we can get somebody to donate that. Yes, we have somebody to donate.
We have somebody.
But okay. But we do need some picnic tables. Everybody was sitting on the ground. It was a little damp still, and so if we could get somebody to bring in some tables.
I heard Park and Rec's playing a whole bunch of them.
We have tables that we are for rent.
Yes.
All right. So we're talking
by the minute.
Mm-hmm. And we also
get those donated.
Just wanted to let you guys know you're not the only ones that had server problems. Lapine Park Rec did too. Okay. And then on the advertising for sled campaign and stuff. Uh-huh. I know you've been in discussion with the rural tourism stuff, and so maybe we could all get together and have a discussion about how we pay for this, because it's part of the tourism. I think that if we can get a little money from that grant that we're getting, maybe that could be towards it. So just an idea, you know, to try and...
I'll stop over and talk to you guys.
And then... the Newberry Business Park, I don't know where to start with this, because if you put a drone up in the air and they are over the top of that area behind the feed store, no one's going to want to buy. So maybe a cleanup first before you get the drones in the air to give a overview would be really nice.
They're really good at editing.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, they've got a lot of editing to do. Blocks and blocks.
It's industrial. It's industrial land.
It looks bad. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. They've got broken down little trailers out there that are not going anywhere.
Guaranteed. They'll have it looking really nice.
Okay. And then where do I go with the marijuana thing? Just as long as you're not putting it on Bluewood Court, I'm happy. Because they do, and I've talked to a couple of people in Colorado, and they do have a lot of smell. They do have wastewater that comes out of there. It is a hazard, and I don't think it ought to be right downtown. That's just my point on that.
That's why we are doing this.
Out there. I'll just let you know right now, I did talk to the people that are coming in there just not even a month ago, and they are pretty sure they're going in that building. So... Just give you a heads up.
They've already gotten approval to go in there.
I know.
That's passed. So we can't go retroactive, but we can for anyone future coming in.
Well, I don't think you're going to get another retroactive person. I mean, it's not really gone through the city yet. And you were just saying that if it hasn't gone through the city, we could put a stop to it and put them out in the business park where they should be.
They got a conditional use permit a year ago.
And how long is it good for?
I'm assuming 2 years, but I'd have to double check.
So maybe an environmental impact at the end of the 2 years would be a good idea, because...
That ship has kind of sailed, but in terms of future development, that's what we're trying to get ahead of. So it's not perfect, but...
Really, in the marijuana area, you have two people that produce this. And there's a reason why they don't have an environmental impact on any of it. It's because it keeps shifting. So just keep that in mind. They don't have one anywhere.
Okay.
So that's my beef with it, is because the kids go right past it and it smells.
One thing here?
Just one thing?
You only have one
pointing
thing?
Pointing to the sky.
Okay.
It's going to rain. No, good news. It took 12 months to develop, but the first public draft of the Lapine Park and Rec comprehensive plan update was going to be online at lapineparks.org but the server.
We have a little trouble.
Maybe we could get a group deal going. But it's going to be there. It's massive. It's details. It's factual. And as soon as, you know, we get
on there. You got a hard copy over there.
Should start looking at it. Well, yeah, we'll make that happen too, hard copies. I'd sure like to have a conflict together, a work session at some time down the road.
Okay.
Just to give you some ideas of what's in it. For example, you talked about compatibility and vision. The recognition by the park of its obligation to the city for painting and that kind of thing, and also being consistent with the theme, and also being consistent with the Urban Renewal District's plans. All that is going to happen before we just start putting paint on things, for example. So that's all in there. So just to give you some ideas, we also talk about the 150 acres and the next step, as well as all updates and all the future parks that are up there that are on the board in green. There's three of them up there that are indicated, plus the soccer field, you know, regional park. It's all in there. And again, the whole idea on that one is just get it up there for people start looking at it. Then we're going to hold a whole bunch of public hearings and do modifications for it. So the idea with putting the draft on is to start the input. And all input is good, even if it's critical. So we can fine-tune it and make it. Because none of these plans work unless we have total and complete community buy-in. So that's how it works. So that's the first step, and it's now completed as soon as we get it on the line, the Fine Arts
Sounds great.
It's only 121 pages, so don't get scared.
Oh, wow.
We're not scared of our documents.
Anything? All set?
Nope.
Okay. Public comment? Done. Other matters? None. Staff comments? Start with you, Corey.
And you guys can address this during council mayor's comments if you want, but I don't know if everyone had a chance to see the email I sent out. I'm giving a nod to Anderson Perry for the scholarship that they're willing to contribute to Vine High School. So I asked, you know, for a little direction. They give kind of, this council can basically just choose someone if they want, select, create some kind of a selection criteria, or ask the school to choose someone. So I'll save that for council and mayor comments if any of you have opinions on that. I'm going to say it because I was talking with Jake and Ashley today about it. You know, we're in crunch time for budget, so the next month, when we have spare minutes, we will probably be trying to either put the budget document together in preparation for these budget committee meetings. So that's going to take a lot of spare time, which is good. I think we're in a good place right now. I feel good about it, but it's just we got ways to go. So keep that in mind. I met this morning with the president of COCC, Central Oregon Community College, Shirley Metcalf, and she's an amazing woman. It was a great meeting. And I would say, you know, again, it takes time for things to happen, but I would say that they are looking at Lapine, and there could be some good things happening coming from COCC in the near-ish future. And so I think if the city has an opportunity to play a role in facilitating that, I think it's a wise decision. So if there will be meetings, future meetings, probably this summer, that all of you will be invited to. She will be there. Others will be there to talk about kind of what can they do short term and what can they do a little more long term. By long term, I mean maybe 5 years-ish. But that's really exciting. I came away from that really enthused. So I wanted to share that. Turn it over to Jake. He's got some public works.
Sure. While we're on the topic of cleaning up town, landscape maintenance contracts open up again. Reached out to 4 different contractors in the area. The one we used last year and then 3 others, one of which we used before. Got some bids from them, took them around town, told them what we wanted to do, showed them different areas we're looking at. And we got 3 bids back from the 4. One was for $14,000, one was for $9,000, and one was for $5,000. We decided to go with the middle one. They're a local group, Little River Design. They just worked there for the fire department, did a really good job there. Really interested in doing the work for us. And I think it's a good one to go with. We're going to give them a shot for a year and see how they go. It's been fair because of the 3 that submitted, we've given 2 of them a shot already, so I think it's fair to give them a shot. And their bid was very, very well. very good. And also, with landscaping, we're going to put some benches here in the near future. Picked out a few spots along First Street. One had a little bit of a problem with Mid-State, so I took Mid-State through, walked them. It was near one of the power pedestals. Just wanted to make sure we weren't going to inhibit them working on a power deal. They were fine with where we wanted to put it. We had to take into consideration, especially after this long winter of snow, of keeping the sidewalks open and how we're going to do that in the future. And a bobcat comes to mind or something of that nature going down the sidewalks.
Well,
if there's a bench on the sidewalk, it makes the width go down, right? So we're trying to make it so they're not right on the sidewalk, but they're on the backside of it. So we're going to pour little aprons of concrete to facilitate that. That way we can keep the sidewalks clear for that. And that apron I talked about was near one of their power pedestals. And they're totally fine with us doing that. So I wanted to make sure we got the green light before we started with the project, putting those out there. So that's where we're at with the benches.
Did we pick bench designs? I don't remember.
We've got two of them. They're built. Garbage cans are there. We're just waiting to put them out. We picked a day to do it, and then it snowed. It's like, you gotta be kidding me.
You've been sitting over there all winter.
Then it's like, well, let's think about maybe keep the sidewalks as much clear as we can so we get a good theme going. Put a couple out there. Keep them off the sidewalk for now. Put them in nice spots. They're going to be, one's close to the outpost, and one's kind of directly across the street from it near ODOT. So they're going to be good spots for them. They're going to look nice.
Yeah. We're talking with the new grocery outlet development. There's kind of that courtyard area-ish looking thing right across from the highway. There's a little opening. And so we were talking with them, the developers, the owners of the site, about getting a bench and a garbage can put there. We don't know if they'll pay for it, but we think that would be a great location for that. I mean, one of the unfortunate things that I think all of you see is that, you know, when the snow melts, all the trash that's accumulated there over the last handful of months is laying there. And so it's not pretty. To give a little bit of sympathy to folks walking around, if you're carrying something, I would hope they'd carry it a little farther and find a place. But if there's no trash cans, there's nowhere to put it, right? So, you know, we're going to recommend in next year's budget, you know, again, we're turning this place into more of a city. So it's more streetlights, it's more sidewalks, it's more benches, it's more trash cans, it's more of those types of things. So just keep that in mind. That's a proposal, but keep that in mind. So,
yeah. Well, also, you saw the crew out last week, probably cleaning cinders off the highway back there. I'm glad we did that because there was some grass that was starting to look like it was either going to die or not grow at all, you know. So they were pretty busy this week cleaning out cinders off the highway.
The trees look good and everything.
Trees look good, yep. Landscaping crew will be in next month, starting cleaning up and fire up of the sprinkler systems and stuff like that. But crew worked pretty hard. You see them telling good job on cinder removal. We got like 5 yards of cinder out of the deal, so that worked out good too.
Great.
What did you do with it?
Kept it in a plant. We're going to use it. Yep.
Nothing?
Good meeting, guys.
Okay, good. Let's start with council.
Speed trailer.
Yes, sir.
Do we have it out?
It's not out, but it's going out this week.
Okay. Anything else?
I've said enough.
That's enough, 2 words. That's pretty good, Don. I like that. Thank you, Karen.
It was a good meeting. It actually went faster than I thought it was going to because there was a lot on that agenda that had a lot of talk that needed to be done. So I think we did a good job.
Good.
I like starting at 6 o'clock, but it puts us out a little late. So I know 5:30 was too early for Connie, but as long as we can move along, I guess I'll be okay.
Okay, cool. Connie.
Great meeting. Like you said, I'm amazed it went as fast as it did also. And as far as the scholarship that Anderson Perry is wanting to do, my opinion is that we have the business person at the high school maybe give us a recommendation on a student that could use the scholarship. I mean, I think that would be a good direction to go. You know, I don't know as far as we have any requirements, anybody going into political or business or anything.
Or engineering.
Like that.
Is there an engineering firm? I don't
know. Yeah.
Well, I'm supposed to see Matt Friday and B
before, he said they're having a problem with these, because before they just post them and have the kids apply, and the kids just sort of ignore them.
Yeah. Sure.
So I think we ought to,
free money,
you say, yeah, have somebody pick somebody.
And I realize that Mr. Greiner just moved our student council's name forward, but my thoughts on that is I've watched in the past year that we've had student councils appointed and they haven't shown up.
Yeah, right.
So I think it would be hard to say, yeah, it should be the student counselor, but if they're not going to show up, then kudos to ours, who has been here most of this year. I was surprised he wasn't here tonight, but in the past, I watched the seats sit empty. So
right, he's still more interested.
We actually thought about doing away with it because nobody showed up.
You know, and yeah, and if there was a scholarship or if we had an attendance element to that, I wouldn't be opposed to having the student counselor be the one to get it. But okay, if they're here in name and not in body, then not so much. So great meeting them. I'm ready to go fishing.
So, you awake over there?
Oh, yeah. I know we give out a scholarship, and it fluctuates. Some years, you get flooded with them. I think 2 years ago, we had two. You know, and it's, we give out three scholarships, and we only had two apply.
Wow.
So it just depends on, the class, I guess. But last year we had some of the best apply. It was a tough decision last year. That's why I have a committee do it, so I don't have to be involved with it. I just get to go out and have fun and give out the money. I saw the public works guys out there, you know, cleaning up the cinders and everything. Everybody's like, the sun's been out, everybody's excited, the city's excited. Cleanup, I think, is a good idea. No, I have not always been in favor of it because it discriminated against residential areas and some other things, but I think I like the way you're planning it. That's it.
Okay. My comments are, is that the city, you can see it's moving ahead fast and furious. You know, even the IT, I mean, all these things were getting up to par. And I really think, just for things for thought, is that we're going to have to hire not just the person that we're hiring now, but we may have to hire an ordinance person or, you know, a planning person to take Tammy because she's racking up hours. You know, so just start giving it some thought on how we move ahead on that, because these guys can't do everything because it's getting fast and furious here. I'd just like to put that out, and even the sidewalks. I mean, next year when ODOT gets the sidewalks in, we're going to have to think about Public Works buying a machine that will clear them, whether it's a Bobcat, just keeping the city clean and be a real city, because I don't think having the businesses shovel them is ever going to work. But we have to just start thinking about the long-term effect here. Even taking over some of the city streets, because the county keeps mentioning that constantly, so it's on their agenda. We take over more and more, you know, so it's just like Corey was last meeting, long-term goals or long-term thing, we got to start thinking about all of these issues above. So, and that's it. Do we have...
Can I have one more minute?
One more.
Tied into one of the things you mentioned. So we've got the job announcement up and open right now. It closes at close of business 5 o'clock April 3rd. It's not next Monday, but the following Monday. Try and get a pretty quick turnaround on that. So we'll likely make a decision on, whittle it down, work with Jake, whittle it down on who to interview by the end of that week. Reach out to them, get interviews scheduled. My thought would be to have Jake and myself and then two members of council, two different interview committees, Jake with one of you and myself with one of you, to interview folks, do a swap, and then get together and make a decision. So you don't have to volunteer now, or if you do want to volunteer now, let me know, and I'll make a note of that. And then again, it's not for a couple weeks, but I just wanted to mention it now because we won't meet again until April 12th. So I wanted to plant that seed now.
I like
you
it.
Up for that?
Yeah, okay. I'd like to do that.
Well, maybe we
Karen?
Are.
Anyone else? Karen, you're good with that? Everyone good with that?
Can you fit two more? Put those, put three of them on there.
Three?
Yeah. We had three last time.
Yeah, we could do that.
We could do that.
You just keep them and link them together anyways, as long as they're not
something. Yeah. Yeah.
Only two per area committee.
Yep.
Well, that's, yeah, how do you do that with five people?
I think Stu just...
Well, you just put, two of us.
Stu doesn't want to do it.
No, I know, it's Taryn.
Only two council members per...
I will.
Yeah, only two council members.
Two per, that's three so far.
Only two council members.
Stu doesn't want to do it. So you're only talking about
the job.
At mostly four.
Sounds like it's probably...
Yeah, Karen, Connie, and Dennis.
Okay. So we could never get together and discuss it, is what he's saying.
So it'd be
even if we were only on an interview.
But not all three council members.
That's fine.
Right, I got that. Okay. Okay.
Are we getting... applications?
Yeah, we are. We're getting some interest.
Can I turn mine in?
I'm sure.
That's what I told him. I would be interested.
We are getting some interest. I think we've got the word out pretty well. I think it's starting to spread a little bit more. And actually, we've gotten quite a bit of interest even from folks who are outside the community, inside and outside the community. So I think it'll be a good mix. So stay tuned for that in the next few weeks.
I never asked this. Do we have to have a motion to adjourn
yes.
our work session?
Yep.
Yeah. Every meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay.
Nay.
Adjourned.
You want to hang out? Feel free.
Did that job announcement? Did you send us a copy of that job announcement?
I mean, no.